phrase sort of stuck out to me this morning. Sang that song many, many times. But did you think about it? What does it mean when we sing, Jesus, lover of my soul? Jesus, lover of my soul. How does it make you feel this morning, or what stands out in your mind as you think about Jesus who loves your very soul, loves, he wants that soul? I don't know. Just hit me in a new way this morning. It's good to see all of you here, and it's good to, I don't know what you're expecting this morning, but I'm expecting some to hear from God. Are you here this morning to hear something from the Lord? All right. Well, at Maranatha, we do this thing where leadership team gets a chance on a Sunday morning to share what God has laid on their heart. And this morning, John Sapp is, and I'm looking for him. Did he leave? I was like, thought maybe he ran out on me or something. But he was willing to come and share what God has laid on his heart. And so if you're a guest here, this is not something that he does or has done, I don't think. Oh, yes, he was. But I will say this, he was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. And I know he's put a lot of time and effort into and preparing, and I'm just anxious to hear what God is going to speak to us through John. It's interesting when you work with people or in a team setting on the leadership team. John, it's not been a year that you've been on this team, and I've gotten to know this young man's heart some much better than what I did before. Not as good as Sherry knows it, I'm sure, but I just really appreciate what God's been doing in your life. And I'm anxious to hear a little bit about it this morning. Let's pray. Father, Brother Johnny here is here to share what you have laid on his heart. And Lord, I just pray that you give him a freedom to speak his heart to us. And Father, I pray that you would take the words that he shares. And Lord, may they just be directly driven into our minds, into our hearts. And may each one of us leave here challenged in a new way. May we leave here just receiving a message from you through John. So, Lord, it's to your honor, to your glory that we are praying, that we're asking this. For, Lord, we want to grow to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, when I first got here this morning for Sunday school, there wasn't that many people here, and I was like, all right, this is awesome. As Sunday school went on, I saw more and more people come in. I'm like, okay, this is getting worse. And Sunday school ended, and there's a line up there, a group of people over there. I'm like, man, this is really bad because there's a lot of people here now. But it's good to see every one of you guys here, and hopefully that I can put something across today that will speak to somebody here. To each one of us, as would be my desire. When I was asked to do this, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I can speak, I can talk about hunting for hours, I can, you know, do that stuff, but when I got a set agenda and I got notes I got to follow, I'm like, oh no, here we go. But I'm not sure how much time I'll take up. Lynn told me that, I asked him how many notes he had last week when he preached, and he said 7 pages of notes. I'm like, 7 pages? Like, I'm thinking like 2 pages, we're good, but I started last night about, I don't know if it was 8:30, 9 o'clock, when it was, but I finished it about 2:45, and God was giving me stuff to write, and I feel that it was from God, and that's what I want to speak to you guys today. I basically wrote out my whole sermon, so if you catch me looking down, I apologize, but this is my first time, and I want to hit my points that I really felt really strongly on last night. But as I took this time to study this week, I'm thinking, and I was like, man, Lynn and Willis do this every time they preach, and we really take it for granted. I do, the work that they put into coming up here and preaching and giving us a message each Sunday. And I just want to publicly thank you guys, because I, for the first time, just realized firsthand the amount of work and time it takes to put it. put into it. And as you know, I'm nervous. That's a little scratch in my throat. I already drank about a half a bottle of water, so hopefully I'll be good the rest of the way. But that's right. That's right. We are a family. And do you believe in prayer? Amen. I do. Prayer has been worked firsthand in my life, and I've seen it. I'm going to pray, but before I start my prayer, I want you to think with me for a second. I want you to think about who we're praying to. Praying to God. Praying to Jesus, the intercessor for us, to talk to God. God controls our every breath. He's letting me breathe right now. He's letting you breathe right now. It's His choice. He could stop it right now. I'm done. I'm gone. We're talking to a God that controls everything. A God that's almighty and all-powerful. Let's pray. Lord, I want you to say whatever you want me to say through my mouth. I want the things that you once said, Lord, to flow through me. I pray that you would be glorified through the words I say. Use me to speak your truth. Give this group of people I love an open heart. And I pray if I say something that is not right, that you would remove it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was asked if I could preach, I was like, man, I don't know if I can fill up this amount of time. And Lynn told me that whatever I don't fill up, he'll take care of the next time he preaches. So I will try and spare you from this. Because he already pushes that 12 o'clock line pretty good. Most times it's on the right side of it. So we'll try to ease that there. I wanted to talk about something that meant so much to me, like I said, and that was prayer. And I think back to when Sherry was pregnant with Peyton. Everything was going great. Prior to this, we had a miscarriage, and it hurts. Anybody that experienced that, she was along far enough where, like, we're ready to hear the heartbeat and stuff. We're expecting to hear it, and it's not there. And there's a pain of a loss, and we get over it. Well, she was pregnant with Peyton, and it was going good, and we were 28 weeks along, and we found out she had stopped growing. And we're like, oh, God, you know, not again. We've gotten further this time. Praise the Lord for that. But we're not at the end. She isn't born yet. So we're like, man, here we go. She stopped growing. The doctors were concerned that there would be complications and different stuff. So we did only what we knew to do, and that was pray. And so we prayed. A few weeks later, the doctors induced. She was born a happy, happy, happy baby girl. And we were blessed because God answered prayers. And the peace that we felt through this time of up to that point of her being born is only from answered prayers and from God. Another example was a few months ago was Sherry. She has a habit of losing things. And I have to laugh about it, even though it kind of gets on my nerves at times because I'm like, how do you lose this stuff? Anyway, Peyton was sick one night. She threw up. And Sherry went over to her. And she made a nest on the floor because she had threw up in her bed, obviously. So she made a nest on her floor with blankets and on the cushions. And I think she had moved her to the couch or something then. But nonetheless, there was a pile of blankets. She was sleeping on the couch. And the next morning, Sherry woke up, and she couldn't find her diamond on her ring. It was missing. Well, I'm just a carpenter, and I spend too much on hunting. So it's not that big of a diamond, so it's a little bit hard to see. And so she searched, and she prayed. And she got Peyton to pray. And they bowed their head and they prayed, and they said, they pleaded with the Lord, you know, help us find this. We don't have the money to replace this. I'm like walking around with a ring with just a little whatever sticking off of it. She no more than prayed that, and she went and looked in the blankets on the couch. She picked it up, and there right perfectly center of the cushion was the diamond sitting there. So God answers prayers. This past summer, some of us guys started an accountability group through some things that had happened. The things that stick out the most to me on this accountability group that we meet on Wednesday nights and sometimes Tuesdays isn't failures over victory, isn't temptations eased, but the prayer at the end of our meetings each and every time and the way we feel the Holy Spirit there with us in the room. That it just speaks great to me. I came late last Tuesday night because I had work late. We had their meeting on Tuesday night, and I had work late, and we went out to town. Sherry's sister Julie was in from Indiana. We went out to eat. I had the kids while they went shopping, and until they got back, it was like 9 o'clock. And I texted Kendrick, and I said, hey, are you guys still, have you guys started prayer time yet? He said, no, come on over, and we'll pray for you for this week. And I was nervous at that point because I had no clue what I'm talking about. And we got there, and we prayed. And the guys all laid hands on me, and the feeling of the power of prayer is just amazing. The next day, it rained, so I didn't have work. And that was the answer to prayer there because I had 3-4 hours in the morning that I could set aside, and I can try and figure out what I'm going to do this on. And right then, there was just things that just started coming out to me, and everything was prayer. So God answered firsthand, again, the power of prayer. And you know, when I was a kid, I believed in Jesus. You know, I believed Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I still do. I know He loves me. It's in the Scriptures. But now I know because He answers my prayers. You know that feeling when you ask God for something in your prayer and He listens? Some of you have had these moments, but some of you might not have. And you like me at one time where we were doing the whole church thing. We were coming every Sunday. We were doing our thing. And you feel like He's listening and He answers prayers. Or you don't feel like He's listening and answering prayers. You just go through the motions of it all. And you wonder what is wrong. I wonder what is wrong. You hear the stories in the Bible of Elijah and the fiery flames coming from heaven. David and Goliath. Daniel in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the miracles in the New Testament. These are all things that prayer had to do with prayer. And you're like, how do I get this? How do I experience this in my life? So what am I missing? I'm not getting these same things when I go to church. What is wrong? I know the book is real. I know that for sure. I think I have a relationship with God. I mean, I talk to Him every now and then, and I set aside a few minutes here and there to study a couple times a week His Word and to talk to Him, but I want it all. How many of us grew up in a Christian home, grew up going to church, but aren't really completely sure if we personally know Him? And He knows you. And the Bible says God doesn't listen to everyone's prayers. And I never really thought about that before. Heard it before, but never really thought about it. It says in the Bible in Amos 5:23-24, it says, away with the noise of your songs. I don't like your worship or your praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. It is noise to my ears. He doesn't answer when we're not living. He doesn't answer when we're not living right. When we continue to live in sin, God can't hear our praises or prayer. Sin is the disconnect between us and God. When we have sins in our life that are not taken care of, we leave room for God to step away from our prayer requests. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You know, I could go out here now and if I want to ask for something that I really like, you know, I'm going to ask for a Chevrolet 2500 HD Duramax, black rims, stainless in it, just a little strip of stainless, 5-inch exhaust, 6-inch lift, rat box chip. Am I going to get that? No. Because I'm asking it out of my own selfish motives. How many times do we do that and we expect God to answer? 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. How many of you all ever fight with your wife, or fight with your husband, or I guess kids with your parents? Does that affect our relationship with God when we communicate through Him? Yeah. Me and Sherry, we've had our couple arguments in the past 6 years, just a few. there was one particular argument that came to mind just a couple months ago. I'm not going to detail what it was over because I'm sure it was something stupid. But we both late climbed into bed after the kids were asleep. And I sleep on the left side of the bed if you're looking at the foot end. And I'm facing towards the wall. And she sleeps on the right side of the bed. She's facing toward the wall. I'm laying there, and I'm the type that I kind of get quiet when I'm mad. She gets vocal. And I'm laying there, I'm like, okay, this is coming. You can almost start the countdown. You can hear it boiling. You're like, oh, here we go. I can picture God up there right now. He's like sitting there. He's pulled up on his recliner, flipped his back. He knows how we act, how we fight. He grabs his popcorn and his heavenly Pepsi. I can only imagine what the Pepsi tastes like over there. He's saying this is going to be a good one. And Sherry explains herself and addresses why she felt the way she did, or why we're arguing, what her reason was. And then God's up there, and I see him. He's like, look, that's my little angel, Sherry. Look at her trying to resolve it. There's Johnny. He's just hushed up, sitting there, not saying anything. God does the same thing to us a lot of times when we're not following him, when we're friction, when we're causing friction because of the way we're continuing to live our lives. We're putting him behind, and we're doing these things, things that matter to us, things that we feel are fun, like say I set aside because I don't feel like reading the word right now, I'm going to go hunting, or I'm going to go watch this hunting movie, or I'm going to go shoot, or you know, whatever it may be, that's for me. We put God on the back. He like me and Sherry, when we fight, we all have different ways. And a lot of times we end up ignoring the other person. God doesn't necessarily ignore us, but it does affect our prayer. Isaiah 58, 5-9, let me turn here in the Bible, says this: is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Acceptable day to the Lord, sorry. This is not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed grow free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover them, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. God says, I don't care if you fall on your face. I don't care if you don't eat. I don't care how long you fast. If there are people around you that are coming to you for help and you don't help them, I do not hear you. But if you pour yourself out to those in need and then talk to God, he will say, here I am. What do you want? But if you're not willing to help the poor and needy, he will say, I can't help you. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because of sin in our lives. Joshua 7. We read about Achan, the story of Achan and the Israelites when they go to war. And Achan had went, he had stolen. And I'm just losing who they were at battle with. I just lost my train of thought. Nonetheless, he had stolen from who they were going to go to battle against. And it was something that this group of people cherished. And God had, you know, told them not to steal. And the Israelites were a group of people that they were the Dallas Cowboys of it all. They won everything. But not quite. But they were a powerful group of people that won a lot of wars. But they lost this one. And 36 of their people were died, of the Israelites. Joshua came to God and said, Lord, why? What in the world is going on? How did we lose this battle? This doesn't make sense. He found out that Achan had stole something sacred and had hid it. So they stoned him, and they were able to win again. How is that fair that one guy's sin affected such a great group of people, a huge nation, or a huge group of the Israelites? 36 people died because of this one man's sin. So do our sins affect the church? Do our sins affect our family? Do our sins affect the people around us? It also affects our prayer life. Sometimes God doesn't listen to us because of doubt. Do we truly believe when we pray that He is going to answer this prayer? How can we doubt God when the God of the universe hears my voice? The same God that the Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. There's no way to comprehend the size of the universe. We can start. I could go out to the town, Hertz Reach, where I bought my last couple of vehicles, and go there and I could buy a Dodge pickup truck, a Hemi that's like I got now, because, you know, I want a vehicle that can go 150 miles an hour on average so I can go catch some rays on the sun. I could hop in. I could open the sunroof, of course, begin to drive. I could drive nonstop 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and I would be there in 70 years. I'd be 98 years old. Let's say I stretch my legs from that long trip and decide I'm going to go. To the next star system, which is Alpha Centauri. I will need to fuel up, of course, and pack a lunch, because I'll need 15 million years to make that trip. If you don't like to drive, you can jump in a jet at 600 miles an hour, 16 and a half days. You will reach the moon in 17 years. You will pass the sun in 690 years. I can eat dinner on Pluto after 7 centuries, but I haven't yet left our solar system, much less our galaxy. But yet the heavens declare the glory of our God. How glorious is our God. Isaiah 59, 1-2, listen, the Lord is not too weak to save you, and He is not becoming deaf. He can hear you when you call, but there is a problem. Your sins have cut you off from God because of your sins. He has turned away and will not listen. If I continue to sin in my heart, God will not answer my prayers. But sin separates us, but for the blood of Jesus, we can make things right. And God is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins, so that God does have an open ear to us. How many of you all know John 3:16? Raise hands, everybody. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you really believe that? Well, there's another time in John where Jesus also says, in John 14:12, he who believes in me and will do the works I do, will even do greater things than I did, because Jesus goes to the Father. So He's saying that we can do greater things if we believe. Is that true? I mean, greater things than Jesus did? I mean, fed the 5,000 with a lunchbox of loaf of bread and some fish. He turned the water into wine. Do we really believe? Look at myself when I read that. Do I really believe? Because I sure ain't doing anything greater than Jesus did. It says right here, that we'll be able to live like Jesus and do what He did and even greater things. So my question is, do we really believe? Do I really believe that I can have the power by believing in Jesus? If half of us could do that, look at the difference we could make. If two of us did it, look at the difference we could make. Eric, can you bring my bow up here? This right here is a target. And this is after 60 shots on a target, and none of these are outside this white at 20 yards, basically from here to the wall. It's basically from here to the wall. If I blow this balloon up, and let's just say I'll make it bigger just for safety, I'll make it to cover that next white line. I don't have any in there, so you should be safe. If I put this balloon, tape it to this back wall, and I were to shoot at that thing. How many of you believe I could hit this? Raise your hands. A couple of hesitants because they don't want to see me try it. Don't worry, I'm not going to try that. How many of you believe enough that you would actually hold this balloon and let me shoot it? There's about maybe 8 people. How many of you believe enough that you would actually put it between your teeth and let me shoot it? I got a couple of people. Can I have one of you guys actually volunteer to come up here? Seriously? Nick, come up here, buddy. I knew I had somebody that believed in me. That's awesome. Can you bite down on that? And just face that way a little bit. He hasn't dropped that thing yet. He trusts me big time. I'm actually not going to shoot it. But I appreciate your believing in me. Thanks, buddy. You can go back down. My point of this illustration isn't the people that believe I can hit it on that back wall. It isn't the people that believe they would hold it for me, you know, away from them, so at least just take out their hand maybe. But the one person that believed that they would put it in their mouth and let me shoot it. How many of us truly believe like that one person? The John 14:12, where it says, "He who believes in me can and will do the works I have done, and even greater." Do we truly believe? How many of you are actually willing to bite down on that verse? Where people look at me in my life and are like, "Wow, I can't wait to know the God he serves and follows. He loves and cares for people, he's slow to anger, and he's quick to help." Jesus says, "If you believe in me and I will do these things, if you ask in my name, my Father will do it." And 100 years from now, when we meet again in heaven, what's really going to matter, what I said today? One thing that I have to think of is a phrase from Dr. Charles Stanley, and it says, "We can make our greatest stand when we are on our knees in prayer." You guys can come forward, the one who's going to do that song. We make our greatest stand in life when we are on our knees in prayer. You guys believe that? Prayer changes things. If we truly believe. And even though sin is a disconnect from us and God in prayer, our route back is through the forgiveness, through the blood of cross, Calvary. And when we forgive those things, he is faithful to forgive, and he's quick to answer. We can make our greatest stand. We're on our knees in prayer. Let's get our stuff right. Let's live our lives, my life, in line with God. Let's pray to him with confidence that he will, without a doubt, answer our prayers. I'm not asking out of selfishness or as a way to boast, but only to honor God, worthy of our praise. That's all I have. You guys ready? You guys can go ahead and actually start praying. I mean, start playing. I'm really on the roll praying. That's all I have. So Lynn gets to go 20 minutes over next time. So I apologize for that, but you do at least get to eat early today. But Jesus says in James 4, "If you doubt, I won't answer you." If you're here today and maybe you have doubted, like I have at times, and you feel that your prayers haven't been heard or aren't being answered, I encourage you to come forward. If you are here today and you have taken the passage in John and you have taken it and you have bit down like Nick did, and you put it for your teeth, and you want to commit, or if you have already have in the past and bit down, you want to recommit, you want to bite back down on that balloon, Make that known to God. This altar is open. You coming forward has nothing to do with what I said, but what you heard today through Jesus, through God. If you maybe have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, then I encourage you to do so today. We're all as the flower in the grass. We are here today, but we're going tomorrow. The grass withers, the flower falls away. He is letting us breathe. When will He allow us to stop? Are we truly believing John 14:12? Whoever believes in me, I will do. And you will do as I do. Also, this is a time of prayer. So any prayer requests that you have, anything that was mentioned, if you volunteered a prayer or you suggested a prayer, come forward and take care of this. This is a prayer time. Listen to the words of this song titled Pray. That's all I have today. I pray that you guys got something out of this. I was encouraged by studying this to bite down on this balloon and man up and live for Jesus.